1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I begin reading with verse 16. But the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Before comfort one another with these words. Preaching on a very timely subject this morning, preaching on the rapture of the church. I believe the next major prophetic event on God's timetable is the rapture of the church. The Bible teaches the imminent return of our Lord. That means it could come any moment. There's no signs for the rapture. Plenty of signs of the second coming, and boy, they're already in there. So the rapture must be soon, because it'll take place at least 7 years before the second coming. I'm going to lead us in a brief word of prayer. As I pray audibly, would you pray in your heart and ask God to speak? Only God can make the service what it ought to be. Pray that if there's one here lost, God will save that soul right here this morning. Our Father, our God in heaven, God, thank you, Father, for sending your Son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. Father, I thank you, God, you're in Christ, reconciling the world and yourself. Thank you for our redemption through Jesus' blood and the forgiveness of sins. Father, I can't thank you enough for saving our souls. Father, you know I'm aware of the fact there could be somebody here lost. Father, if there's anyone here lost, not ready to meet the Lord, then please, God, save him before the service over. Bless us, dear pastor. Thank you for Stuart, his good family. Bless them. Sure do thank you for him. Thank you for all these, our precious brothers and sisters in Christ, God. I can't thank enough for this church, God. You know, this is one of my favorite churches. So please, we're to bless your people now, God. Thank you for letting us live, see another homecoming. Jesus' name, again, I pray, please meet the spiritual needs of everyone here. Everyone here. In Jesus' name, we pray that for all his sake. Amen. There are two phases to the coming of our Lord. One's called the rapture. The other one's called the second coming. In the rapture, Jesus comes in air. In the second coming, he comes to earth. In the rapture, he comes for the saints. Second coming, he comes with the saints. In the rapture, he comes before the tribulation period. Second coming, he comes at the end of the tribulation period. If you're born again Christian, you're saved. And when the rapture takes place, you're going to leave this world. And I am too. I look forward to that. No wonder the Bible says looking for that blessed hope. Blessed hope. The glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. The blessed hope. That I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I know I'm not going to get left behind when Jesus comes back. Thank God for that. We're going to look at five simple thoughts, and I'll let you go. We're going to notice there'll be a return, there'll be a resurrection, there'll be a rapture, there'll be a reunion, and last of all, there will be remorse. First of all, there will be a return. There's some three times as many prophecies in the Bible concerning the second coming of Christ as there is the first coming. And if all the prophecies of God concerning the first coming of Christ were fulfilled in minute detail, then you can take it to the bank. All the prophecies of God concerning the second coming shall be fulfilled in minute detail. For example, Isaiah 7:14 tells us exactly how Jesus will be born. Born of a virgin. The Virgin Mary, read the Gospels, that's the second way he's born. Micah 5:2 tells us where he'd be born, in Bethlehem of Judea. Again, read the Gospels, he's born in Bethlehem. Just like God said he would be. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9 tells us how he would ride into the city of Jerusalem. The first time he came. On a colt, the foal of an ass. Read Matthew 21. That's exactly the way he rode into the city of Jerusalem. Amen. So if all the prophets of God concerning the first coming of Christ were fulfilled in minute detail, then you can take it to the bank. Amen. All the prophets of God concerning the second coming of Christ shall be fulfilled in minute detail. Amen. There will be a return. Amen. Jesus said in John 14, I will come again. He didn't say I might. He didn't say I'll think about it. He said, I will come again. Ready or not, he's coming. You better make sure that you're saved and that you're ready when he comes. I think what the Bible says in Hebrews 9:28, now to them that look for him shall appear the second time without sin and salvation. I'm telling you what we have preached about, read about, talked about, sung about, all these years, it's going to happen one of these days. And I think we're getting very close to that day. Two of the most significant signs of the soon return of Jesus Christ in this Bible are the restoration of the nation of Israel and the reunification of Europe. We're seeing these happen in our own day. I was born in 46, May 14th, 1948. Israel became a nation among nations for the first time in over 2,000 years. God said they would go home. And we're seeing them go home. And boy, I tell you what, it's interesting to keep up with what's going on over in the Middle East. Iran has been trying to produce an atomic bomb for years and years and years. And Benjamin Netanyahu, the leader over there in Israel, our president and others knew that if they could ever produce a nuclear bomb, that they would blow up Israel. But you and I know that they won't ever be able to do it. Especially now since our president took them bunker-busting bombs and blew up their underground nuclear facilities. Hallelujah. Boy, that rejoices my heart. All of that points towards the fact that we're getting close to the end. Because you study your Bible closely, you're going to find that in Ezekiel 38 and 39, that Russia and those Islamic countries and the end of time will invade Israel. And one of them is Persia. And you know who Persia is? Iran. Iran. So we're living an exciting time. Don't you get discouraged. Don't you get out of heart. You just keep looking up. The Bible says when you see all these things, lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. Our redemption is drawing nigh. It excites me. There will be a return. One of these days you go down to where you check in to go to work. By the time you start checking, you may check out for time in church. There'll be a return. Secondly, there'll be a resurrection. The Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first. I love this second point because I need a resurrection. This old body's wearing out. It's about had it. one more dose of that COVID, and I guess I will be gone. That stuff nearly killed me. If you have the COVID real bad, then you normally have vertigo real bad. And I fight that every day of my life. People ask me, say, how in the world do you drive with vertigo? I tell them, I say, I pray, and I pray, and I pray. That's all I know to do is to pray. God kept me from getting in a wreck so far, but I've had some close calls. I've had some close calls. One reason why I'm glad my grandson back here is driving me on most of my long runs. Thank God. He doesn't have vertigo. He just has go. When he gets to understanding well, he puts the pedal to the metal and we're gone. And I'm over there praying, oh, God, keep from getting in a wreck. Thank God we're going to get a brand new body. The most exhaustive chapter in all the Bible on the resurrection of the believer's body is 1 Corinthians 15. In that chapter we find that it's sown in weakness, but it's raised in power. Yeah, it's weak. It's getting weaker every day. But it shall be raised in power. Glory, what a day that shall be. Sown in corruption, it's raised. It's sown in corruption, it's raised in incorruption. It's sown a mortal body, raised in immortality. We get that new body, we'll live for all eternity. We'll live as long as God lives and God will never die. Now, we got a lot to look forward to. So don't you get out of heart. You've got no reason to get out of heart if you're saved. Will be a resurrection. Thomas said, I'll be satisfied when I wake with his likeness. John said in 1 John 2, said, now we're the sons of God, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be what? Like him. For we shall see him as he is. And the strongest argument I know of in all the Bible for the fact that we'll have a body just like the one Jesus has got right now, that is found in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. It says, for our conversation, that means our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Here it is, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. We have a body just like the one Jesus has got. Never get sick again. Never get tired. You won't need any energy bars. And when you eat fried chicken and banana pudding, you won't need any Rolaids or Alka-Seltzer. I'm talking about something real, folks. I'm talking about something real. We'll be a resurrection. Get a new body. You want to read exactly the kind of body we're going to have, then just read about those 10, 12 appearances of Jesus to the disciples after he arose from the dead. You'll have a body just like that. That's a mouthful, but that's what that Bible teaches. It says we're going to be like him. I just can't imagine what it would be like a million years from now. Same age you were when the rapture took place. Woo! Hallelujah. Billion years from now, you'll be alive, still real. Not a day older. Live for eternity. I repeat, going to live as long as God lives and God will never die. Be a resurrection. Get a brand new body. Never have to take a nap. Everybody has to sit down and rest. My mother-in-law, my wife's mother, used to tell me, she'd say, sit down and rest a while. You'll live longer. Won't need any rest then. Won't need to sit down. I'm sure we can sit down if we want to, but you won't have to. You'll never have a need to rest. What a day that shall be. So there'll be a return. There'll be a resurrection. There'll be a rapture. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Caught up. So you won't find the word rapture in the Bible. But that's what caught up means. It means to seize, to snatch away. It'll happen, the Bible says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. The rapture would have taken place right now. Quick and I snap my fingers. You'll be leaving that pew there. You'll be headed through the sky. Will be a rapture. Since it's going to happen so quickly, so suddenly, you don't have time to run to this altar and get saved if you're not saved. Amen. If you're not saved, the rapture would have taken place right now. It's over for you. It's over. You say, well, I get saved in the tribulation period. According to the Bible, you won't. Bible says God's going to send strong delusion to those that are not saved, to those that held the truth and unrighteousness. That strong delusion is the lie of the Antichrist. If you won't have Jesus Christ, then you're going to bow down to Antichrist. And if you do according to Revelation chapter 13, it's over. Once you receive the name, the number, the mark of the beast in your forehead or in your hand, you cannot be saved. That's the Bible. I'm telling you what the book says. You better make sure you're saved. You better make sure you're born again. By the way, what would happen to you if Jesus were to come back today? Would you go to heaven or would you be left behind? Now you better get that settled. It's a serious business. It's heaven or hell. There's no in between. Fourth, there'll be a reunion. Bible says we'll be caught up together. It'll be a family reunion, the family of God. It won't be a Taylor reunion. It won't be a Stewart reunion. It won't be a Grubble reunion. It'll be a reunion of all the ransom of God, of all the redeemed. You say, well, what in the world will we eat at that reunion? Fried chicken and banana pudding. Now, I don't know what you'll eat, but you won't need any Rolaids. I've eaten in some homes where there were some good cooks. I believe one of the best cooks I've ever ate behind was Brother Jimmy Millsap's wife. Miss Angie Millsap. Boy, she can cook. Woo. I told her, I said, I hope you're going to be one of the cooks at the marriage supper of the Lamb. I've seen some people's biscuits. You could take them and throw them and hit the wall, and they'd bounce off the wall, but not hers. Not hers. They're so soft. There'll be a reunion. I don't believe you'll ever hear the word goodbye when we get to heaven. There's no goodbyes over there. Never say goodbye. Whew. Wonderful. Then I close with a sad note, though. There will be remorse. You say, no, preacher. Paul said in verse 18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. That's exactly what he said, but he said that to save people. He said that to the members of the church of Thessalonica, the Christians there in the church of Thessalonica. See, it is comforting to know that when the rapture takes place, we're going to heaven. But do you know that? I'm sure you're aware of the fact that a lot of people, even church members, are not saved. Jesus said there'd be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, and you yourselves thrust out. Be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Just for an example, I believe it'll happen something like this. When the rapture takes place, and those lost church members, of course, are left behind, I believe they'll get on the phone, call the pastor's home, and the phone rings and rings, but he doesn't answer it. His wife doesn't answer. They're gone. Left behind. How sad. I believe there'll be church members. I'm saying now, we'll run down to the pastor's house. Preacher, where's everybody at? They're gone and you're left behind. I believe there'll be teenagers whose daddy and mama were saved. They've gone home and be with Jesus. These were church members, but they were not saved, and they got left behind. I believe there'll be teenage boys and girls running back and forth through the house, screaming at the top of the voice, "Where's my mama? Where's my mama? Where's my mama?" She's gone and you're left behind. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Better not, he's coming. I ask all you folks on this side, are you ready? Jesus were to come back today, what happened to you? Would you go to heaven or you'd be left behind? How about on my left side? Jesus were to come back today, would you go or would you be left behind? Serious business. I'm glad that I know that I know that I know that I know. If Jesus comes back before the service is over, I know I'm going to heaven. Do you know that? If you don't, you can. If you're not careful, you'll be among that number that will be where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I'm through preaching. Would you stand to your feet?